What's up, everybody? This is Alex Kelly back here with another episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast with my brother Ryan.
Hola, senor.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fucking great.
We've been doing show prep for the last couple of minutes, so we're very in tune with each other for our 147th episode. Ryan, we're almost to 150.
Dude, we're going to be there like 2 weeks from now.
We're gonna have
150 episodes. What are we gonna do for our 150th episode?
I was just thinking, power rank. Who are the people you would want back on for 150th episode?
Just you.
Only
you, my little brother.
Just me. But seriously, who would you want for
Ben Matheny? Yeah, I mean, the usual cast of characters. Get Kirk Acevedo on. Let's branch out. Let's try to get like some new guests,
or maybe get back on Nick Loeb.
Yeah. Call Nick Loeb. See if he'll
hop on for this shit.
He's got to be in good spirits after the Republicans didn't do very well last week.
I thought you were gonna go with a banned abortion, but yeah, no, you were going with the fact that they did not keep the Senate, and it might not look like they are gonna keep the House, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they should keep the House, but definitely was not what they were expecting. And
no.
Yeah.
Political talk.
Oh, my fiance's here.
Hey, Marina.
Marina!
Come here.
Come here. Come. Yeah. Come. Why not?
This episode's already off to a great start. Okay. Marina's
gone. Oh, no. Come on.
Marina.
Come on.
You gotta
I feel like I'm trying to get Max into the house.
Because you have the French Dispatch poster behind you. This has to be a thing now. We got a fun episode today.
Verna says hi.
Marina, hello. She went and saw both the movies that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
I can't remember if she saw the one a couple weeks ago. She did. We're going to be talking about Black Adam, the movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and also Pierce Brosnan. That movie came out a couple weeks ago. We're going to get around to finally reviewing that. But we checked out what is now the darling sensation of the movie world, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, as Kamala Harris would say. We're just getting real political in this episode. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about that. We checked that out Saturday. I've got the Black Panther for people who are not home and are listening. I've got a Black Panther Namor Funko Pop to my right. So we'll be diving.
What's the one below it? Fright Night?
This I've talked about that before. This was the Funko thing they do. They do like a fun box.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all full of goodies. I actually sold a couple things out of this and made all my money back. So
cool. And you're just gonna keep the box?
Yeah, well, I also have, and I can't really get to it. I don't remember. Well, hold on.
That's okay. Yeah, I think our audience really.
Oh, they care.
They care. Okay.
This was the big one. This is worth $90, $80.
How much was the box?
$130.
Dude, Funko's just printing money, aren't they?
Oh, but they're like stock fell, and they're like not doing great right now because they keep just putting out bullshit items.
Really?
Yeah, it's been bad kind of as of late. But no, like this one, this was like the main thing out of the box. This is worth $80. I sold like...
What is it?
It's Freddy Funko as Nosferatu.
Yeah, but who the fuck is Freddy Funko? Or...
Freddy Funko is like the mascot of Funko.
Okay.
And Nosferatu is a horror character from like the 30s. Which they're about to remake with, I think it's Stellan Skarsgård as Nosferatu. But no, I sold like two or three items out of that box and it recouped everything that I had paid for it. So,
dude, Funko fucking crashed today.
Yeah, today?
Yeah, I know it lost like 7% today.
Oh, Jesus. I knew they lost either like 5 to 10% like last week or the week before. Like they have not been doing well lately.
Huh. Well, anyways, okay, that's the finance. Yeah, they've lost 9% in the past 5 days.
Yeah, they're not doing well.
That's not good.
But they just like greenlit a Nosferatu movie, which is why I held on to this one, even though it's like the most expensive one that came out of the box. This is going to jump up in value whenever that movie comes out, to where this is going to be like a $200 grail. So,
oh damn, okay,
yeah, like it's already $80.
Oh, and, look at you, Luke, using big collector words like grail.
Grail.
Oh,
holy grail! And it's like, I have it in a box that is like hardcore versus like, well, I found this the other day, my Dustin. Yeah, I'm not going to grab anything else. But
is that a sign? Is that the sign, Dustin?
No, that was Argyle. But
oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, Funko stuff. So, where the fuck were we? If you are interested in this podcast, more Funko finance, political talk, and not movies, check out our Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks, or our Twitter for however long it lasts at Furloughed Film,
or our YouTube channel Furloughed Film Talks,
where this episode will be posted for your viewing pleasure, where you can actually see the Nosferatu
that Funko we're talking about, yeah,
and the Namor Funko Pop, and all my.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you first.
No. Are we gonna pay for Twitter Blue? We're gonna get
they don't
that
even offer it. They don't offer it.
What are you talking about?
They took it down.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, dude! I just checked it like a couple days ago. Oh my god, that sucks.
After the like bullshit with the Lily Brand and what else was there? All the different people getting impersonated and their stocks
crashing.
So it was
Lockheed Martin, Lily, whatever.
Yeah, Chiquita. What's the fucking banana brand?
Oh god! If you just
Chiquita, I don't know how to say.
I was investing in that company for a little while. I made a good bit of money off them. Yeah.
The fuck?
I don't know.
George Bush and Tony Blair were pretty pissed off about all that happening.
I don't blame them. I mean, I would if I was an advertiser.
The stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, if I was an advertiser on Twitter, I'd be like running for the hills. But nobody on Twitter, I think it's pretty cool that you can.
It's hilarious.
Yeah,
but like the what's it called? The biggest like advertising company that like basically advertises for like McDonald's and some of the biggest companies out there basically told all their like people that they like work for to that they're cutting off like advertising for Twitter, that you should just not do it.
It's probably a good idea, honestly.
Yeah, it's a really good idea when people are impersonating your brands and just like crashing your stock and impersonating literally former world leaders. So that's our opening segment, is more political talk.
fun times. Anyways, so before this we were talking about gonna go back. Never mind. So before this we were talking about the movies we were kind of excited, and I didn't realize that Fablemans was going to come out next week. This week we got the menu. Bones and All is coming out next week. That's probably a limited release, the Timothy Chalamet movie that everyone lost their minds about at Cannes. They'll probably come out sometime in December. Violent Night is coming out December 2nd, which I'm super stoked about.
Power rank the movies 1 through let's say 3, but if you have 5, what are your most excited movies for these next couple months, Ryan?
So I would say number 1, Violent Night.
Okay.
Number two, Bones and All.
Okay.
Number 3, Fablemans. I think. All right. I'm not seeing anything else in December that I'm like, hold on, let me roll through. Oh, no. Number 3 is definitely The Whale.
Thank you. I literally was writing down The Whale as like number 1.
Yeah, I'm like scrolling through everything. Okay, so Violent Night, Bones and All, The Whale, Fablemans, then The Menu probably.
Yeah.
Then Glass Onion, and then Avatar.
Oh,
Avatar's way down there, dude. I'm not at all like really.
Really?
I give a fuck about it now. Like,
I just had to like redo my entire list.
Like the exact thing that everyone was worried was going to happen with Avatar, I think has happened with me. where, like, yes, in 2008 or 9 when that movie came out, the graphics were like fucking fantastic. But now, like, any old movie has like good graphics.
Nah,
Like
dude.
this story is gonna have to be like really badass to be like a good movie,
I
right?
still
They
think
don't
that.
have the originality of like the first movie. They don't have the amazing CGI that was groundbreaking of the first movie. Like they're really gonna have to do something out of the ordinary, which, you know, I don't know. I'm just more excited for those other like kind of more original movies to come out rather than a sequel of something that came out fucking 14 years ago.
I still think the CGI that is in that movie is like heads and shoulders above anything else that like we're seeing right now,
Nah, there's no way, dude.
which is why it's number two on my list.
Okay.
The Whale is number one for me. Like,
Okay.
I am so freaking excited for my boy Brendan Fraser to like kick ass and get his Best Actor
Low
award.
key love have you turned into like a straight up like memorabilia collector. This is not the
Oh yeah.
trajectory I saw your life going, Alex. I have
Yes.
to be honest.
We have all this shit.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you sit around and have to listen to people. Dude, okay, we're gonna take a fucking side road for a second. I had a kid today literally out loud in the front of the entire class because they're doing self-selected research. So they're
Okay.
supposed to research somebody they think is successful, right?
Okay.
He goes out loud. How is, I don't get it. How has he been born in, it says he's been born in three places. He was born in three places. And I'm like, what? Like, are you like, is it on a Wikipedia page? Like, what, how? I walk over. He goes, it says he was born in three places. It fucking said Memphis, Tennessee, United States.
Jesus. This is some important context real fast. You're a school teacher for 6th to 8th graders. No.
No, 9th to 10th
Ninth
graders,
and 10th graders.
freshmen and sophomores.
What the
And
fuck?
this kid literally saw Memphis, Tennessee, United States, and thought this motherfucker had been like born in three different places.
Yeah, this nation has no hope whatsoever.
Dude,
Like, we're doomed. We're 100% doomed.
it took everything in me not to yell out, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Did you
But
explain it to him?
yes, I was like, all right, Memphis is the city. Tennessee is the state, United States is the country. And literally, I look over at one of the other kids at the table and he just goes. And I'm like,
Wait, what was the person he was researching?
some fucking rapper.
Wow. How many kids picked either the Kardashians or Elon Musk?
In one class too, I really was like trying to be as hands-off as possible because like they need to understand how to like do research. But in
Okay.
one class, there was an Elon Musk person. And then there was a girl in another period who, which is, this is bad, but like couldn't find anything on Kylie Jenner and was like, I don't want to do her. And I'm like, there's like a lot. There's a
There's a
lot.
lot, there should be a lot out
There's
there.
a lot on Kylie Jenner you could find.
Was some of it like blocked by the firewall or something? Like,
No, she just didn't know what to look for. Which is part of my job, I guess.
yeah. Okay, so I'm so interested that we should talk about this more later, but that's fucking incredible. Oh, I know what I was gonna mention.
Okay,
Did you
sorry.
see who fucking Pete Davidson's dating now? You see this shit?
Emily Ratajkowski or whatever.
Emily Ratajkowski?
I don't know how to say her last name.
Ratajkowski.
Cool. Who, I don't, I've seen her face. I don't know who that is.
She's the girl that got molested in the Blurred Lines video.
Oh,
Yeah.
wait.
With
Was she
what's his
in
face?
Uncut Gems?
Yeah, I think so.
She's not Kanye West's. Who is Kanye West dating for a little while? That
Like
like
way back in the day?
no. Like a couple months ago that like blew up and like she was trying to like she's basically gold digging.
Oh, it wasn't her.
It wasn't
It
her,
was,
okay.
yeah. No, she's
I don't know
the
this
chick that
shit.
like Robin Thicke like was super drunk in the music video for Blurred Lines and like fucked with her.
Okay. No, I know who you're talking about now.
I mean, whatever. Pete Davidson's. I'm. I sh we shouldn't be surprised at this point, but I'm still every fucking time I'm shocked. But good
Nice
for
guys
him.
win, I guess, or people with huge dicks.
It's not even that, dude. It's not like. No, it's like he's just. He's got that personality. Like,
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. And probably a huge dick. Probably slings a dick.
no. Yeah. Anyways, my number one most anticipated is The Whale, followed by Avatar: The Way of Water, and then The Fablemans, Glass Onions, and then The Minion. Minions, God damn it, The Menu.
I was like, there's a Minions movie coming
No,
out?
I keep every time I fucking you're about to say it, I think you're about to say a Minions movie, and I get really excited. And then I have to like temper my expectations.
That's when you get that glazed look whenever I mention the menu.
100%. I'm just like
Okay.
Minions and
That makes
bananas.
sense to me.
No, memorabilia collection. Yes, I have very hardcore fallen into Funko Pop collecting, I guess.
Yes, I see that. I kind of restarted the Pokemon business. I've been killing it with the sales the past couple weeks.
Was there a new
And
release or what's been going on?
no, I just had all this fucking product that I had like taken everything down back in like April because I was just like super busy with work and whatnot. Now that I have more time and started listing everything, I sold like $1,400 in the past like 3 weeks just worth of like
Damn,
random
bro.
shit. Yeah. And I've been listing like the least expensive of all my inventory. And I'm getting like 80 cards back from CGC, like either later this week or next week.
Dude, you remember when I was telling you that Funko was, or the people that's like the big Funko like grading thing? They just partnered up with PSA.
Yeah, PSA just announced that or just like opened up their submissions for Funkos.
I think that's a mistake.
Why?
I think because so it's called Pop Price Guide, so
Okay.
PPG. There was some thought that PPG was going to like do their own grading system.
Yeah.
I think they should have done that instead of like partnering with PSA.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a lot of work and like infrastructure
Yeah.
to put together to do your own grading service, though. It's not a walk in the park.
No, I think I'm not saying I thought it would be. It's just like to have the thing that everybody goes off of for like value. To have that also be like a grading service, that would have been next level. Like you'd have been the Funko PSA. You would have been able to do something very
Yeah.
different. So,
Yeah, I don't know, like, do you even think Funko should be graded though? I'm like,
yes.
okay.
Here's why. Like, I'm gonna find it real fast. Hold on. There's a Batman that I have. And you talk about whatever you want to talk about for a second.
Okay. I'm just going through like the PSA website. I guess they are doing their grading exactly like they do for cards. So
Yeah.
they're gonna have a scale from 1, which represents poor quality, all the way up to 10, which is a gem mint quality. And then they're gonna do 0.5 intervals except for between 9 and 10, which they'll just have a 9 or a 10, and then below that they'll have like 8.5, 7.5, yada yada. I don't
So
know, like it
here's
just
the thing
seems.
with your cards, like what is a mint to near mint card? It's something without scuffs, it's like perfect, no tears, right?
Well, okay, so it has to be perfect centering. So like, you know, the blue or the yellow bordering around the card,
Yeah.
it has to be like exactly equal around the card, perfect centering. The surface has to be perfect, so no scratches, no dinks, none of that. Here I don't have one with submarines around me, but what are the other ones? I mean, it literally, like, to get a 10, it has to be a perfect fucking card. And like, even a card out of a pack, if you like literally took a card fresh out of a pack, put it right into a sleeve and right into a card saver and shipped it to PSA or CGC, like I would say less than like 1% of those are going to get a 10,
Yeah.
because it has to be like, it has to be printed perfectly, it has to be handled
Yeah.
perfectly, it has to be perfectly centered with no like print lines or anything like that. So, but the thing with cards is like it's actually kind of difficult to display a Pokemon card or a sports card without having it graded. Like you can get, you know, your own little plastic case you can put it in, but it's not really gonna look as good if you have it like permanently encapsulated, not just like a screw top case, right? But with Funkos, you're like, they're naturally ready for display because they're like in the box. And they're also like, I have to imagine it's fucking impossible. It's kind of like comics. It's like impossible to get a 10 because like a Funko like goes through the manufacturing process. It gets like physically put into a box and then it's shipped to a store. That store takes the box, opens it, takes the Funko box out of the box and puts it on a shelf. And then from there, you pick it off the shelf, you put it through the cashier, you take it home. Like, God, the number of like ways it can get fucked up. It's like worse than comics. At least like comics, you'll have like 20 in a stack, right? But yeah, like it's so easy to fuck those boxes up.
I fucked this up on my own. I had a bunch on like a wall over here and it fell off. And this is one of the like Funkos. It's a Batman Funko. 1989 Funko.
Oh, and it even like fucked up the top of the box.
It fucked because I dropped it and it ripped the top. So this is like a 4 or 5 at this point. But like the Nosferatu one that I have came in perfect condition. There's nothing wrong with it. So I immediately threw it into this thing, which is like hardcore, like really good protection for it. No, I mean, it all comes down to what are their specifications going to be for like a 10 or a 9.5? Like,
yeah. And like exactly what in the box are they grading? Are they grading like so that the plastic is like not scuffed at all, perfectly clear. Like every single corner is perfect. Like what exactly are they grade? Oh, they actually have a scale here. So,
and that's the thing, like this, the film thing at the front, like that has to be non-scratch. Like that scares the shit out of me with this like Daemon Targaryen one. Cause like, this is in perfect condition and this will be a grail at some point. So like, I'm really worried about like fucking this one up because this could be worth a lot of money. And you don't have the one with egg, but you have the one without egg signed. That is going to be worth $600 in about a year.
But whenever, without what on it?
You have the one without the egg. This is the one So he's holding an egg in this Funko there.
Oh, it's like a dragon egg?
Yeah. The one you have is where he doesn't have an egg, but it's signed by Matt Smith. Mm-hmm. When that next season rolls around, your Funko is going to be worth like $600.
That's kind of cool. I think I might send that in to get
100%. Graded. No, yeah. Like, because what they're going to do is it's not only going to be like graded for quality, but like, then verified for signature.
Well, yeah, so you
authenticated
can,
for signature.
There's three different like tiers. You can get pop grading for $39, which is just like it's just grading the box itself or just grading the Funko. Mm-hmm. And then for $64, you can get the Funko grading and then they will authenticate an autograph.
Exactly.
And then for $74, they'll grade both the Funko and the autograph.
Yeah.
So like that's like super fucking expensive though. It's like honestly, it is. $39 is like I send my cards in because I've got like a like member discount, but every card I send in the CGC is $13.50. So
but like the thing is
it's also a lot less to handle, right?
Yeah. And it's different. I guess it would be a whole lot different if you didn't know it that it had been signed, like it hasn't been authenticated and you bought it off like eBay or something, but like you were right there when he signed it. So like it probably would be a little different for you, like throw it, like so say the last two for the signing, like how much it would be.
So it's $64 just for them to authenticate the autograph, and then it's $10 more, it's $74 for them to grade the autograph.
What do you mean by grade the autograph?
I guess just grade the quality of it, right? Because like that's
bullshit.
Well, not really, because like say I took the Matt Smith Funko directly from the signing and send it to PSA, like that's going to get a high grade, as opposed to like if I've handled the box a bunch and like the signature itself gets scuffed up and whatnot, then it's going to be a lower grade, right?
Yeah.
This is interesting too. Like the, so for a mint nine grade, it may appear perfect at first glance, but upon closer inspection, you may find 2 to 3 minor but visible imperfections. Examples of such flaws would be a very light scratch on the window, light indentations in the cardboard, a frayed corner, a small amount of sticker wear or residue, or a corner fold that isn't perfectly square.
Bro, that leads me to, so they had a Zeus figure for Thor Love and Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
They sent them out with the New York Comic Con sticker on them, and they weren't supposed to have them. So I found like 3 or 4 of those in Denver where you can tell they ripped the stickers off.
Oh, yeah. Anything you get at like Movie Training Company or, you know, like anywhere you buy it where they...
This is at Target.
I know, but like where anywhere they where they stick on the price, like on the box in the window, you can't get that fucking graded because you would have to take the price off.
No,
you
no,
know
no.
What I'm saying?
What I mean is they had put a New York Comic Con sticker on them, shipped them to Target. Target got them, and then Target got a message from New York Comic Con and everybody else was like, they're not supposed to have the stickers off. So each store had to rip those stickers off. So you can find them with like the sticker residue where like if they had left those on, those would have been grails because they would have been the ones that should not have stickers on them.
Oh yeah, no, I get what you're saying. That like that really sucks. But what I'm saying is like if you get a if you don't get a Funko directly from like the original retailer, the ones you get at like Movie Training Company, you wouldn't be able to grade because you'd have to take the price off the window and it would leave residue. Like there's it'd really be super difficult to kind of buy Funko secondhand to grade. Where like buying Pokemon cards and sports cards, like basically, I would say way more than half of the cards that get sent in for grading are bought off the secondary market.
True. Like, yeah. Because I bought some Office Space Funko Pops, and they like I haven't taken the like original price tag and then the clearance price tag off them because it's gonna leave just awful residue on like the box.
Mm-hmm. There may be something that you can do because like since the box is plastic, there may be something you can do to like clean it.
But... yeah, and that was the craziest thing about it was when I was going to get I'm gonna say Argyle, I don't remember the actor's name now from Stranger Things. The person that was the handler gave me a like cloth thing to like wipe off the clear part of the Funko Pop to have it ready for him when he's signed.
Wow, so, that's good.
They know that that's what they want. So
it's a huge thing in the Pokemon grading world right now where like people have been, either not even caught. There's a company that offers a service for you to send your cards to, and they'll like clean them and like mark them up to get ready for like grading.
Seriously?
Yeah. And everyone's like losing their goddamn mind because people's like, yeah, you're altering a card at that point.
Yeah.
And like, and it's like the grading companies will automatically reject it or like ban you from getting stuff graded. They find out you're like altering cards. So there's probably a slippery slope with Funkos too. Like, how much alteration can you do to like the window or like cleaning of the boxes, right? So like, it's a lot harder with Funko boxes too because you can like, you know, it's cardboard and it's exact edges. It's not like a rounded edge like a Pokemon card, which is a lot harder to like trim and make look perfect.
Mess it up, but yeah. No, there's Funko talk right there.
Alrighty, our little collector's edition.
We are now back where we're going to talk about a movie that came out a little while ago, kind of lit up the box office, but we are talking about Black Adam, the new DC EU, DC movie, DC Films. I don't know what the hell they're calling it at this point. James Gunn is taking that bitch over. Doesn't matter. It stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson in a role that he has been working on for over a decade now. Ryan, do you have a synopsis for what happened in this fucking movie?
I'm going to have to look one up. And before we get into that, you have to remind me to talk about the Secret Wars thing that you retweeted.
Which one?
The one about Kevin Feige like contacting everybody?
Oh yeah, supposedly everybody is he is trying to hit everybody up to be in the Secret War Secret Wars movie. I guess it's called Secret Invasion.
Yeah, anyways, we'll talk about
Secret Wars movie.
Black Panther. Cuz you know who there's one person he can't get into Secret Wars.
Ryan, why?
What?
Why? Why?
What?
Why?
What do you think he was talking about?
He has a Funko Pop that just came out. It's a diecast Funko Pop. Why would you do that to my boy Chadwick Boseman?
Maybe I wasn't talking about Chadwick Boseman.
Well, I'm going to pull out the Jackie Robinson Funko Pop now.
Maybe I was talking about Robert Pattinson.
Well,
not
he's
Robert Pattinson. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. Never mind. Jesus. Okay.
Continue with your shit.
We're good with the Funkos, Alex. No more Funkos, please. Okay, here we go. In ancient Kandak, Teth Adam was bestowed the almighty powers of the gods. After using these powers for vengeance, he was imprisoned, becoming Black Adam. Nearly 5,000 years have passed, and Black Adam has gone from man to myth to legend. Now free, his unique form of justice, born out of rage, is challenged by modern-day heroes who form the Justice Society
of America.
Dr. Fate, Atom Smasher, and Cyclone. The four worst fucking protagonists movie cinema has ever seen.
Don't you dare fuck with Hawkman and Dr. Fate.
Hawkman was lame as shit, dude. Dr. Fate was pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie. But if I had to power rank this like atrocity of a foursome, like Dr. Fate is obviously numero uno, way up on the
100%.
S tier.
Yeah.
And then like
Pierce Brosnan kills it.
Drop straight down to the shit tier. And that's where Hawkman, Adam Smasher, and Cyclone all reside. They were awful.
They somehow cannot do Hawkman live action well. And it
blows. I'll tell you why. Because they got a horrible actor to play him.
No,
with the charisma of a dead New York City subway rat. Okay, like they're so
tell me how you really feel. Holy shit!
So much better they go pulled off for the Hawkman. Same goes with the ripoff Ant-Man thing.
Adam Smasher.
Yeah,
which you want a bit of not insider info, but like sweet DC Marvel trivia.
Okay.
So you remember when Captain America Civil War was coming out?
Yeah.
That was around the time that Legends of Tomorrow was like kicking into high gear, and DC, i.e. the fucking CW people that were doing Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow and the Flash at the time, found out that they were going to do Giant Man, Ant-Man version. And so they were like, you know what? We're going to cut them out at their knees. We're going to do this a couple months early. So they had the Atom, which is Atom Smasher, in the Legends of Tomorrow. And they made him be big version, which is Atom Smasher in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you talking about this when Ant-Man came out.
And they were like, we're just going to do this to like kind of basically fuck over like Captain America Civil War. So like,
that's like, that's the most petty ass thing.
Oh, it 100% like, is, but it's like my favorite fucking story.
Guys, we're going to put Adam Smasher in our shitty ass CW fucking TV show because Marvel has a like,
hey,
$1 billion movie coming out.
Don't shit on Legends of Tomorrow. Those are some of the most fun fucking like shows out there, and they just did an amazing job with what they had. Like, but no, like I think it is wild to me because also Legends of Tomorrow, they had Hawkman in the first season with Hawk Girl, and it was just like and not just me, like the overall sentiment was, and it is very apparent because they were not in any other seasons of Legends of Tomorrow. Terrible iteration in that fucking show, and they still could not really get it right with Black Adam. So like that to me was just like astounding and confounding, and I did not understand what the hell they were doing. But let's go with like the positive. Dr. Fate, really, really freaking good. And spoilers, they killed him.
Yeah, they did.
And I don't understand it.
Dude, literally the best part of the movie, Dr. Fate, he was by far the best part of the movie, they killed off. Like,
yeah.
I would have... Oh my god, so frustrating.
Also spoilers. Spoilers. 3, 2, 1. Thought they were going to do with Black Panther. Thought they were going to kill off Namor. And I was going to be really fucking pissed if they did that shit. They didn't do that. So, yeah.
Okay,
I'm happy about that.
Spoilers for the movie and spoilers for our review. They should have also killed off Namor.
No, they shouldn't have killed off Namor.
Yes, they should have. Well, okay.
We'll get to that in a second. But, Black Adam. So,
anyways, sorry, carry on.
You first.
I was going to ask you, like, you can give me a Jindo Maxhead rating, but like, give me a little taste of just how bad this movie was. Like, how much did you want to gouge your eyes out at any point during this movie? Oh, he's taking off the jersey for this.
Dude, the first, like, 30 to 45, not even that. It was so frustratingly bad through the very first part of it that I didn't understand why I had made myself like watch this movie. And I didn't understand the like character choices and the writing behind it to where, and I get it from a certain aspect. You have to have this like human element to where you have to have something grounded to connect with an audience, but they did it with a character that is highly unlikable, the mom, a character who is the son who can't act, who has no real fucking connection to like anything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no explanation for like what the fuck is going on. And it just jumps around from bit to bit to bit. And then this is my biggest problem. You have a character who's not an antagonist. He is not an anti-hero. He's not even a fucking villain. He is a psychopath in the comics, and he is a bad fucking guy that you are trying to turn into an anti-hero, and you just can't, because that is not how he's written. That is not
about Black Adam here, right?
Yes, that is not his character at all, and you try to manipulate this bunch of shit, basically going to the point of the villain of the movie is the devil, and that doesn't even work. Like, none of this shit works. None of the lines work. None of the acting works other than Pierce Brosnan. Like, his acting, The Rock, is so monotone and fucking just like one-dimensional. It makes no sense in any of this movie. Like, it was so infuriating to watch this movie. Like, I cannot tell you how much I'd like. It's not a Dark Phoenix, oh my God, pick another movie that has been that bad. But like, it's not that
original Suicide Squad.
Yeah. But like,
I think it was on the par of the original Suicide Squad.
It was on par of like the original Suicide Squad, but it was not as bad as like Dark Phoenix. Like, Dark Phoenix was like a whole fucking like another world. But like, I dude, it was so, so bad. And like, it just made no sense where that script was supposed to be. So I don't know. Like, I did not enjoy it at all outside of like maybe the last 20 to 30 minutes.
I found it really impressive. Like, how, okay, they really built this movie up on it being The Rock's like entrance into the DC universe, and you know, The Rock's just gonna like save DC movies because he's like such a great,
yeah,
like actor, and like, you know, can like just catapult any fucking franchise. I barely remember, like, when I think about the entire movie, like, I barely even think of it as a Black Adam movie. It was like really a story or a movie about the kid and his mom,
yeah.
And it was really a movie about like the country or city state that they lived in versus the gang. And then like Black Adam was just like a side character to that whole kind of weird fucking like dictatorship slash like government they were living under. And I mean, it was like a very veiled fucking like depiction of the US running like Iraq or the United States running like Afghanistan, right? Where we're kind of like seen as
It was
this
supposed to be like
roaming
an
gang of
analogy.
assholes. Yeah. And then just like Black Adam is just kind of like a side character. There's like Black Adam and then the Justice Society is like this weird kind of sideshow that's happening, like kind of apart from this whole thing with the city and the gang and like the devil comes from the gang, right? So I don't know. That like surprisingly, The Rock was like one of the worst parts of this movie. Like not quite the worst, but he was definitely like
He
second
was
or
not one of the
third
worst.
worst.
That kid was by far the worst.
The kid by far was the worst, yeah. And I don't know, like the some of the Justice Society actors, like the Hawkman, is that his name, the fucking Hawkman? And Cyclone and dude, oh no, the worst part of this about this fucking movie was the cringe ass interactions between Cyclone and Atom Smasher.
They
Like,
were 100% trying to like set up a romance
oh
there.
my God, it was like the most awkward ass, like forced
Just over the
comedic
top.
shit I've ever seen in my life. It was like painful to watch. Okay, now I am interested. What would you give this movie on the Gendomaxid rating out of a perfect score being 5 out of 5 Gendomaxids?
I've got a Shiba-esque. He's gonna help me with this because he could tell I was upset. He's got his Bucky's bow tie on.
Why the hell does your male dog have a bow on?
He's a bow tie on, sir. He's
That's not a bow tie. That's a bow.
it's a bow tie.
I don't think so.
I'm going a solid 1.75.
Damn, son. Okay.
What would
That's
you give it?
like a full, like, one Genomax head rating less.
I almost gave it a 2, and that
No, I'm gonna full on give it a 0.75.
it was just not good. Like, I
Yeah, okay.
enjoyed the ending of it, but like, I don't know. Like, everything that led up to that was just so fucking rough to get through. Like, that movie pissed me off. It
Yeah.
really was not
So this
good.
is a double-decker dumpster fire
Dumpster
review.
fire for sure.
Yeah. I don't know, like I hope like at this point after watching this movie I'd be so okay with like whoever, I mean not really, like I almost said like I'd be okay with Warner Bros. Going bankrupt and like not making movies anymore, but I do want them to make like the sequel to the Batman, and I
Oh,
like
yeah.
against my better judgment I do want to see the sequel to the Joker, but yeah.
No, I mean, we'll see what happens. They're definitely going in a different direction now.
Like the next one is Shazam, right? The next
Yeah,
DC movie is gonna be Shazam, which looks like absolute shit. Like
which like
I
I have to preface that with I was so excited for the first Shazam, and I thought like even though there was a little bit of like campy ridiculousness in it,
it was good. It
I
was a
was
good
stoked.
movie.
No, but not even that. I was stoked for it beforehand. Like I thought it was just gonna be like fun, and it was. This, they're way too much leaning into the childish aspect of who Billy Batson is, to the point where like the kind of like popcorn moment is in the trailer, like throws the bus, like I just threw a bus at a dragon. I lost my life.
Yeah, it's pretty
It's not even the
low-hanging
writing, it's just
fruit,
the
right?
delivery. It's not good. So I'm not super stoked on it, but who knows, man? Who knows what's gonna fucking happen with those movies?
Yeah. Well, anyways,
Yeah.
let's move on to like, oh, the superhero world's better half, Marvel.
Oh,
They
Ryan is not happy with this movie.
I did not like this movie, no.
We're gonna have very differing opinions on this movie.
Yeah, I would really love to hear your justification for
All right.
enjoying this movie, because
Of course, we are talking about the movie that just came out a couple days ago, this sequel to what was a cultural phenomena, Black Panther. This is the first. I mean, there's only one other with Chadwick Boseman. This is the first one without Chadwick. The first one where it's not been Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. This is Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Has really lit up the box office, has done some good numbers. Ryan, what is the synopsis for Black Panther Wakanda Forever?
So, Queen Romanda, Shuri, M'Baku, Okoye, and the Dora Milaje fight to protect their nation from intervening world powers in the wake of King T'Challa's death. As the Wakandans strive to embrace their next chapter, the heroes must band together with Nakia and Everett Ross to forge a new path for their beloved kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's the story. All right.
What about this movie angered you so?
It's not that, I mean, I don't know. Okay, so it's not that I'm angry. It's just like I'm genuinely disappointed in not only like the follow-up to a like just monumentally amazing movie in the original Black Panther, but also just in the direction that like Marvel has kind of been going for the past few movies, right?
Okay.
Like this is kind of like I marginally enjoyed Thor: Love and Thunder, but this is really the third movie in the row that like has not at all impressed me from Marvel.
Yeah.
Like Doctor Strange wasn't that great. Thor was like mediocre, and Black Panther, I would argue, is not a good movie. The main things for this is just they took the plot of the movie and the storyline of the movie is in a really, really strange direction, right? Where like it always was like it's cool that there's like this African nation that was like bestowed with this natural resource that makes them very powerful, makes them like much more technologically advanced. Like, you know, remove the weird, you know, kind of historical and cultural like implications of that, of like trying to kind of like whitewash history and like come up with this fanciful like country.
Ideal.
Yeah, this ideal of like what a great African nation would be if they only had like the right resources. That's one thing. But then you take that country and then you pit it against like the world powers. Like you try to like initiate the storyline that like, okay, now that, well, and of course you have to start off with, you know, the very first like sequence of this movie was King T'Challa dying, right? The Black Panther, King T'Challa is dead. And so they're trying to initiate the storyline of like, okay, the rest of the world sees Wakanda as being weak because we've lost our Black Panther, we've lost our king. And because of that, now they're going to start encroaching on our land in order to like kind of obtain our resources, right?
Yeah.
And so now you take in Wakanda and pitted it against the, you know, notionally the Western powers, right? Mm-hmm. The direct confrontation that they showed was Wakanda's queen at the UN versus mm-hmm. France and the United States, right? And it's like, okay, let's first off, that's a weird direction to be going, right? Do you really want to set off this like this? Do you want to like have a replay of just name any conflict that the United States or like the Western powers have been in? Do you really want to like in your Marvel universe replay like, you know, the Western powers versus Afghanistan or Iraq or Vietnam or like any South American country that we ever subjugated? Like, do you really want that to be your fucking story? Because that's weird. That's weird enough. And then to make it even fucking weirder, you have a second like country that has risen up and
from the sea, basically
from the sea. And you also are going to like your second great world power from a non-Western power just also happens to only be because of vibranium. Like,
yeah,
why is it that like the only way in the Marvel universe that like a second world or third world area of the world can produce a first world advanced like society is from this fucking like natural resource that just like it's just by chance, right?
But it's not supposed to be like an allegory to us pilfering or plundering third world countries that only for the resources that they have, like oil, and wanting to go in there and like only really take them over for.
But think of like the implications for that, right? Like if you're saying that's like that's the story and that's like the world that they're building for Marvel, then what are you calling Wakanda? You're basically calling Wakanda fucking Saudi Arabia, right? We're only allied with them, we're only like interested in them because like
Well,
we need
we're definitely not allied.
with
Wakanda.
yeah, I mean we often yeah, they were like Shield was allied, and like all the superheroes from America were allied with Black Panther, weren't they? And
But not, okay, so I would say that.
generally, the king before T'Challa had good relationships before he got his ass blown to bits at the UN, you
Well,
know.
no, because they had been so cut off from the rest of the world where they had no relations with literally anybody. And that's what got him killed was we're going to go start to make relations with the rest of the world. And he went to that thing and then got his ass blown to bits.
Yeah, but that was more of like a terrorist thing on the
Yeah,
part
but that's
of.
my point is they had not had relations with anybody else. And then they wanted to start to have relations. And then he went there and got killed, which. That's plot, storyline, whatever, script, screenwriting thing where you have to have that guy there to have T'Challa be the new fucking Black Panther.
Right.
So.
Well, okay, so there's that like aspect of it where it's a very strange macro geopolitical like theme to be taking throughout the movie. And then like okay, so they like kill off T'Challa. Like we talked about this in our last episode or a few episodes ago. Like they naturally had to do something to explain why Chadwick Boseman wasn't in this movie. To do it off screen and to only like I like made a mental note of this. Literally, the only explanation that they gave for his death was like with 30 minutes left in the movie, when maybe a little less, more than that, but like when the queen was talking to Shuri and she just said that the illness took your brother. Literally, they killed him off somehow in the first like part of the movie, didn't explain it at all, and then like kind of tried to explain it away with just saying he had some kind of illness, right? And like his heart gave out or some shit like that. Like you do that, but then it's just like, then what? Then like Shuri's the main part of the movie,
Yeah, which
but they
is,
didn't.
you got to do that at that point.
You do, but like have some kind of like, I mean, they did have kind of an arc for Shuri, and that was like way too critical when we got out of the movie. Like I said that she was just like whining and bitching the entire movie about like all the stuff that had, happened to her over the past few years, which admittedly, yeah, it was a shit ton. But you didn't really, you just had Shuri kind of like shoehorned into the role of the Black Panther. You didn't have the full like development into the Black Panther. Like if you had told me before Chadwick Boseman had died, like, hey, you know who's going to take the Black Panther mantle after Chadwick Boseman? It's going to be Shuri. It's going to be his sister. I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why would she at all be like the person to replace Chadwick Boseman as the Black Panther? Like, there's no character development, and because Chadwick Boseman died, they had to force someone into that role for the Black Panther movie, and I feel like they did a really poor job by like forcing her into that role.
Well, that's what I'm going to go to is the very ending of the movie. And this is why I think it works really well is the ending of the movie. It made me tear up and it made me legitimately cry was a montage of her. And it's a montage of moments from the Black Panther movie, the original, but it's supposed to be a montage of her remembering her brother. And it's supposed to be this culmination of her remembering who her brother is as the Black Panther, as T'Challa, as the person that she loved. And it's supposed to legitimately be her mourning the loss of her brother. And that is supposed to be the full circle of her learning what and who the Black Panther is, what that noblism is. And it's, she goes through a true trial or hero's arc of having to deal with loss and having to deal with grief, but also having to deal with, I want revenge. I want vengeance. I am pissed off. And seeing, spoiler, Killmonger as the person that she saw when she took the heart-shaped herb. And so it's supposed to be that moment of, I now know what this character is meant to be, and I now know who I'm supposed to be as the Black Panther. And that, to me, was just a beautiful, beautiful fucking moment where it's bullshit, but like, it's going to be the comp that I make. It was also on a beach. Really reminded me of like the Fast and Furious fucking moment where like they were remembering Paul Walker. So like, that to me encapsulates this entire movie, where it's not only just an ode to Chadwick Boseman, but they were put into an impossible situation where they had to figure out how to best move on with this movie.
No, they weren't, because they didn't have to make another movie.
Well, they had already, let me just say this then. They had already announced it. They could 100% canceled it, but I think, to his credit, Ryan Coogler, the director, knew that they needed to make this movie because it meant so much to so many people, the first one, and to let this legacy and whatever you want to call it die out with Chadwick Boseman, that would have been a disservice to his memory. So you had to make this movie. You had to kind of do something, because, and it's full on honesty right now, original Black Panther did not mean as much to you or me as it meant to other people. Mm-hmm. And that is because of our skin color. That's because of just what happened in the movie, whatever it is. But it meant a lot to a lot of people, and they needed to do something where they honored that legacy, and they fucking honored Chadwick Boseman. Because if you listen to the shit he said in the aftermath of that fucking movie, that motherfucker knew what he was doing. And you hear him talk about him talking with kids with cancer, and he knew in that moment he was probably going to die of cancer, and that he knew he needed to get up and do this for those fucking kids. I guarantee fucking to you, all those people on that set knew that they had to do another one, not only just for like the memory of Chadwick, but everything that he put into it. Cause he spent 4 fucking years making movies with cancer.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that part. Like the major disagreement I think, you know, I have is, a like a mid-credit scene isn't going to make up for a 2.5 or 2 hour and 40 minute movie being
the I'm not even saying the mid-credit scene. I'm saying the last like 4 minutes where they do that, and not even just that, the opening very much sets you up for what these characters are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, I don't know, man. Like
I think the mid credit scene made me even more frustrated than anything else, because like you got to the mid credit scene and like, okay, like major spoilers, the mid credit scene reveals that King T'Challa had a child with, I forget the love interest's name, but
Okoye, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. He has a child, and the child at this point is like 4 to 6 years old, something like that, right?
5.
Five. Yeah. Okay. So you get to that scene. You get to that mid-credit scene, and it's like your entire movie is just like sitting right there, right? Like
Nyong'o,
the
my bad.
what's that?
Her name is Nyong'o in the movie.
Okay. Yeah, I thought Okoye was like one of the command or
She's the
whatever.
Dora Milaje.
So like I really felt when they got to that point where they made that reveal, I'm like, dude, you had a whole movie right there. Like, what better way of like honoring Chadwick Boseman's legacy than to like not show us how King T'Challa died? Like, have it be way less like explicit in how they like describe how he dies. Work in that he has a child like from the very beginning. Have some kind of like conflict happen with that child. Don't have it be like this weird thing where Shuri gets taken to Tuckalon and then like gets rescued back, and in the process they kill one of like their people. So then Namor feels like he has to invade Wakanda, and in that process he kills the queen, and then he comes back and he like attacks again, and like Shuri has him on the ropes, and in my opinion should have killed him. Like, this dude is out for blood. He killed your mother, and he has like explicitly said he's gonna destroy your fucking nation because it's a threat to his. You kill that fucking person, right? She should have killed him, and then like, but she doesn't, and then she comes back, and they're both like, "Hey, we're gonna end up fighting, and like now we're gonna work together." Like,
But I think,
I'll...
and that's the thing, we haven't talked about Namor, and we'll get to him in a second. Like,
and let me wrap that thought up real fast. Like,
sorry.
they then like are say they're gonna work together. And then it's kind of like the outro scenes of, you know, them doing the ceremony to like elect or like pick their new ruler. And sure, he doesn't even fucking show up. Like, how do you become the Black Panther and you're not gonna like, you know, the hereditary line would have made her the queen of Wakanda. Like, to not have her be also be the queen of Wakanda is like a complete dereliction in both like the writers and in like that character's judgment, right? Because like I have known nothing about the Black Panther comics. I know nothing about like all the different characters, but it'd be like really fucking weird if the ruler of Wakanda and the Black Panther had ever been like different people. They talk about how like they've had the Black Panther for several centuries. Like, I'm almost certain that the Black Panther has always been also been the ruler of Wakanda,
Oh,
right?
100%.
So like to have Shuri just like shirk her fucking duties like the Olympic gymnast at the gym is like, I'm just gonna take a mental health day today, and I guess I'm not gonna be the fucking ruler. I'm just gonna go, you know, fuck off to Haiti for a bit, guys, and we'll let the, you know, backwoodsmen come and like take the throne. Like, all there's just so many things this movie that leaves you scratching your head of like, why the fuck do they do this? And then like you have this awesome new character, Namor, and like he's in what, 20 minutes of the goddamn movie? Like, the in the parts of the movie that he is in, like 90% of it is just either him with Shuri or fighting Shuri. Why he didn't have like an independent storyline is beyond me. Like, I don't know. There's just so many like tiny little paper cuts that make this movie not enjoyable.
Not bueno.
No bueno. Yeah, let's talk about Namor.
I loved Namor. Like
Yeah,
Namor.
Namor was badass. Like, best part of this movie, honestly.
Yeah, like Namor was one of the best, to me, one of the best parts of this movie, and the like tragic backstory, but also like, and this is not gonna make me sound like I like the movie, but like almost Martha mo moment, which like let's call it that, where like Shuri didn't kill him because it was a Martha moment where she remembered the stuff that he had told her about his mom. And then she could hear, and that's the breakthrough moment. She could hear her mom from the ancestral plane. And so now she's not only like believing in the ancestral plane, she is hearing it and thinking about her own mom and why he has done that. That to me was like such a great like character moment between the two of them that I thought that like was, I thought that was an amazing moment in the movie. But like, that action scene between fucking Namor and Shuri at the end was fucking crazy. Like, that fight scene was insane.
That was definitely the best part of this movie, was the like different action scenes that they put together. Like, especially with the juxtaposition of the like Namor's army coming out of the water versus like, you know, like those different scenes were really fucking cool. But the problem is, like, to have a great, like, the way they made great Marvel movies in the past was you had amazing action sequences paired with characters you really cared about and storylines that made sense, right? Like, in this, you have great action scenes. I would say marginally you have characters that you care about, but then you just, like, end the movie in the most, like, dumb way possible, right? To have them, like, in that fight scene, and then they just show up back, and there was somebody like,
that was I didn't like that, where they're just like
hanging off the side of a ship, like, hey guys, stop fighting, please. We're like, we're all cool now, and everyone's like, oh, thank God, like, this is getting real dicey here. That was dumb. One thing, like, how the fuck did they even get back to the ship, right?
Because he was about to die.
Not even that, but like, she got stabbed through the abdomen. He was like on the verge of death. The fucking craft that they got to the little desert on blew up. Like, how did
that? Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't think about that.
It's so dumb, dude. It's just so dumb. Like,
yeah, I guess I didn't think about the fact that that thing that they like flew in on was like blown up.
It literally was blown up for her to try and kill him.
Yeah, that's a plot hole for sure.
There's many plot holes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Ryan, what would you give Black Panther Wakanda Forever on a max Jendo head rating?
I would give it a 3.25.
I'm going to lower my rating then. 4.25 for me.
Well, no, what was your...
4.5.
That's high. That's steep.
I really, really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was one of the best like MCU movies that they've done. Definitely the best. Would you say it's the best of Phase 4?
Does Phase 4 include No Way Home?
Yes.
Fuck no.
Okay.
Are you high? Like,
all right. I'm going to revise my statement then. Second best of Phase 4.
What all is in Phase 4 so far? It was Spider-Man, Doctor Strange.
Black Widow.
No, I would say Black Widow is second.
What the fuck?
Black Widow is really good. I like Black Widow.
That has one of the worst CGI moments I've ever seen in a movie.
It does, yeah, but it's still great. Like, that's why I'm so excited for Violent Night, because, like, literally, what's his name? David Harbour. Yeah.
Harbour played for the Mavericks.
Whatever. He can carry any fucking movie. Like, yeah, literally. True. Now, Phase 4, I'd probably go No Way Home, Black Widow, Thor, then maybe Black Panther, and then Doctor Strange. Because, like, Doctor Strange is definitely worse than...
Doctor Strange was a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, Ryan.
Yeah, good times.
This is why I'm
glad that we're getting away from the superhero season and we're getting into real movies, because holy shit, it's been a slog this year.
Yeah, it's been a rough one, but we're getting back on track. We'll have Ant-Man and the Wasp. I don't know if it's Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I think it might just be Ant-Man and Quantumania.
That would be nice, because we're going to get back into these movies actually like having some meaning to them, just beyond their own storylines.
Yeah.
Because it will start tying into
the overarching.
Yeah, what's the guy's name?
Kang the Conqueror.
Kang the Conqueror. That's going to be fun. Plus, you need to go see Banshees of Inisherin, because that was a fantastic movie.
I'm putting that on my list. I didn't have it on my top five. That's probably number one, actually.
Major spoilers for that movie. If you don't stop recording your other podcasts, I'm going to start chopping off my fingers.
I saw that in the trailer. He was like,
that in the trailer?
He was like, if you don't stop talking, I'll start cutting off my own fingers. So I'm assuming he starts cutting off his own fingers.
It's not
now.
An empty threat, I'll tell you that.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right, cool. Finger
aside. It actually leads to one of the like most sad scenes I've seen in a while. It was like really, literally Marina bawled her eyes out.
That's a good sign. I'm going to have to check this movie out very soon.
That's very good.
But for everybody else, we will have a lot of new stuff coming up. We'll be back next week. If you want to check us out on Twitter at Furloughed Film and on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks. But everybody, thank you for checking out this episode, and we'll talk with you next time.
Adios, amigos.